you attend this?
Yes.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't.
This was the one on the 23rd.
Yeah, I attended this one.
That was not a meeting, that was a joint.
Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, August 21st, 2018. This is the regular monthly meeting of CFAC, the Citizens Finance Advisory Committee. We have a quorum present. All members are in attendance except John Irwin, excused for illness. So I'd like to call this meeting to order, and we will open up with committee member announcements, if there are any. Starting on the left with Walter. Any announcements in general?
Yeah, hi. Mora Bay and Bloom will be working on Saturday, August 25th, out at Coleman Beach parking lot, which is across the street from the vehicle entrance to the old power plant. And we'll be working for 2 hours. We quit promptly at 11, and we'll be spiffing up the landscaping at that location.
Thank you, Walter. Thank you for that service. Don? Okay, thank you. Dave? John? Bart? No? And no here. So I'll open it up to public comment. Seeing none, close public comment. And let's proceed with the consent calendar. First item is the approval of minutes for the June 23rd joint community workshop. And from what I could see, that looked okay. Does anybody have any corrections? That's agenda item A1, consent. All right, then let's move on, and then we'll do a motion all at once to agenda item A2. That is approval of the minutes for the June 25th joint advisory committee consisting of three boards consisting of WRFCAC, Water Reclamation Facility, CFAC, Citizens Finance Advisory Committee, and the Public Works Advisory Board. And are there any corrections or updates on those that anyone would like to make or suggest? I have one. If we can check the attendance on that, Jennifer, please. I believe Jesse Barron, a new member of WRFCAC, was in attendance at that meeting, and that's not recorded here.
We can do that.
Okay. And then let's proceed to item A3, that is the approval of the minutes of last month's meeting, that meeting that was held on July 17th, 2018. Any corrections or updates to that?
Yes, I have one. Item 3 is showing as second quarter investment report, and I believe it was third quarter.
Third quarter.
Yeah. And then just I'd like to make a suggestion that whoever puts together the minutes do the description of the agenda items verbatim for what's actually on the agenda. So, like, for example, item 2 on the minutes here, it says discussion and input on the single source purchase of the new fire engine and financing plan. And on the agenda, it said, recommend to the City Council authorization for sole source purchase of a fire engine pumper from Pierce Manufacturing. And on the agenda, it's clear that it was an action item for the committee to take. And on the minutes, it doesn't really appear that way. So just as, normal practice, I would think that the minutes would reflect verbatim what was on the agenda.
Okay.
Okay.
And one other item, I think it was item B5, during the public comment, it said resident Cindy. That was Cindy Betant, if we could add that last name. Betonte. It's on the last page of the minutes. Okay. Could I have a motion to approve A1, 2, and 3 on the consent calendar with the corrections as noted?
I'll move to approve.
Okay. Second, please.
I'll second.
Thank you. So that's Dawn Addis, Moving to approve A1, A2, A3 as submitted with minor updates, and Walter Heath seconding. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Motion carries 5-0. Thank you. All right, that brings us to item B2. Oh, I'm sorry, item B1. Oh, I'm sorry, 5-0, 6-0. Thank you, Bart. Yeah, the last motion carried 6-0. Noted. That takes us to item B1, the brief finance update presented by Ms. Calaway, our finance director. Go ahead, Jennifer. Thank you.
Thank you. Just as follow-up from our last meeting on the purchase of the fire engine, we ended up going with a resolution rather than an agreement. Per our city attorney, he was okay with that. So I've provided you with a copy of the resolution that the council approved. We had a conversation at our last meeting about what the annual repayment for Measure Q would be, and I committed that would be $60,000 or less. So with the increase in price, some additional money from the donation fund, $25,000 was added for a total contribution of $300,000 from the donation fund, and then $20,000 from our vehicle replacement fund, and that's not going to be repaid. That's just the general fund contribution. So the Measure Q portion for the next 4 years is $56,000. So I just wanted to update the committee on that. And then, while it's not perfect, we do have the purchase order system operating, so we're using it limitedly at this point and testing and working out some of the bugs. So attached and behind the resolution is the PO for the fire engine. The tax piece of it was double counted, so you'll notice the total cost in the line item, and then the total amount due is not, the total due amount is higher. However, the third page behind that, the budget performance report, shows how it's encumbered, and it did encumber the correct amount. So again, working out some bugs with the system, but it's operational, and we're using it limitedly until we get everything kind of fixed. It's nice that in our system we were able to upload the signed contract with Pierce that went with the purchase of the fire engine. We uploaded the council report and the resolution authorizing it. So from an audit perspective, everything's right there and easily accessible. So that part's working very well. So we'll continue to work those out and keep using it. We're going to phase it in department by department. It's a lot of components of getting people set up with some different details of authorization. So we'll do that on a kind of a rotational basis, going through and set up procedures for the staff that will be entering the POs and approving POs to make sure business license and insurance and all of that is captured for each of those. So that's the update on the fire engine and the PO. And then lastly, we're, you know, wrapping or into year end at this point. One of our outstanding audit items was reconciliations of our independent systems, our HDL system and our harbor system that keeps track of the rents down there, same with recreation. And Sandy's worked very hard, and we have reconciliations done for the whole year and a process to go forward each month moving forward. So we think we'll be able to check that finding off the list this year. That's our hope. I don't think we'll get credit for the PO system given that it didn't happen in the 17-18 year, but we'll be able to show that we've made progress towards that. And at the next council meeting on the 28th, we're bringing forward a plan for policies and procedures and updating those. So we'll be able to show progress on that as well. And then all of the staff have developed working manuals for their desks. So if they're absent or have a long-term vacancy, somebody could come in and open that manual and be able to function on a day-to-day basis. So that piece, I think, we'll get credit for as well.
Okay, thank you. So basically, we are making good progress on the PO implementation, and if I heard you correctly, you will be able to input documents, sign contractual documents, et cetera, so it will all be in one system. When you're looking up a PO, you don't have to go to another database to find the governing contract. So
that's correct.
So that part's good. And then also, I wanted to mention on the fire engine, we did receive some public comment, but it was really addressed to council that already met, and that was on the allocation of the Measure Q funds and the fact that that is increasing it for the fire department, obviously decreases it for other departments. So I think we would agendize that the next time we discuss the Measure Q expenditures, if that's okay, and for the next fiscal year, so that and then also in that public comment he made reference to naming rights to the truck, so you know, since it was coming out of the Bertha Schultz fund, so that's something for your staff to consider. But
so just to clarify, you want that agendized when we do budget for next year or during our next?
No, when we discuss budget for Measure Q, I think next year.
You know. For 1920?
Yeah, right, because okay. We've already pretty much, yeah. Okay. Any other comments on Jennifer's report from anybody? Questions? Good.
I
go ahead, Bert.
To me, was it? I've been on this committee for 2 or 3 years, and we received excuses for 2 and a half years as far as why the system couldn't be put in place. Mm-hmm. And I just, again, it's kind of phenomenal what you and your staff have been able to accomplish here. Like I said, not excuses, you're just doing it, and it sounds like it's very close to, in fact, being in place. You just have to work out the bugs and implement it. So I, once again, congratulate all of you. I hope you get to sleep sometimes.
I don't think I'm being that much of a slave driver, but that's really what you're seeing is the benefit of that new position, because Sandy's position wasn't there a few years ago. So that's an extra set of hands and an extra, 2,000 hours each year that helps spread some of that. So, the council and the committee making those recommendations has been very helpful. Mm-hmm.
And you're right, and especially with an experienced person, everybody's been very patient, but as they get up to speed, these things will get done. It's a matter of prioritization. So thank you for that. Good comment, Bart. All right, so that takes us to item B2, presentation and discussion of OpenGov transparency portal. So fire away.
Okay, thank you. So you have another kind of grouping of three different documents. Val and I spent some time since our last meeting talking with the OpenGov representatives and some of their suggestions for civic engagement and deployment of the model. They have a tutorial video that they've prepared kind of using a cloud city. It's about 6 minutes, so we thought it might be helpful to show the committee that. And I know it's difficult to see up there, so again, if you want to come down here and view it, you're welcome to do that. It's pretty brief, but it does walk through the different types of reports and kind of the maneuvering, so it might be helpful to see the committee's interest in that, because we can put this on our launch page if we'd like, or some version of this. So Val is going to be the driver for us, and she's going to kick that off. I think we're having some, maybe AGP can help with the sound. While they're working on that, hopefully everybody had a chance to get logged into the portal and did get some good comments back, but we can go through those at the end and kind of go through the documents and what OpenGov is suggesting for deployment. We've also given access to the kind of management and second level management line employees, so they can go through the document, and the council members as well. So when we do our presentation on Tuesday to the council, they'll have had a chance to work through the system and ask questions or provide feedback.
Yeah, I want to make a quick comment. Last meeting, I think it was Walter that brought up about the SaaS, Software as a Service. That is the model when we looked at that contractual document. And I know I had sent, as well as others, several comments to two of the council members on the terms that were in that. But I think it was a great suggestion, Walter, and it also is the way you want to buy this type of software, where it's priced more on the benefit received and the number of users, et cetera, versus your former model, which that would have been six figures at least to purchase that kind of software on your typical software license arrangement, plus your follow-on 18% to 22% maintenance. So that's good that you guys did it that way. It's a very low initial investment, and see how it works. So
good point. I think we're good to go.
This will take you to a transparency site. On the left-hand side of the screen. Welcome to Cloud City USA's financial reporting platform powered by OpenGov. This video will be an overview of the features of an OpenGov transparency site. When you reach the welcome screen, click View Report. This will take you to a transparency site. On the left-hand side of the screen, you will see a list of different reports that are available for your review. Below the report list is a filter panel. This filter panel will be used to switch around the data that you're seeing in the graph as well as in the table. Below the graph is a table of data. This table of data contains the raw numbers and amounts that are making up the graph above. If you call your attention to the left-hand side of the screen, to the filter panel, you'll notice that right now it is showing expenses broken down by expense type. On the graph, we see a series of different colors. These colors correspond to the legend on the right-hand side. The filter panel on the left, as well as the legend on the right, have a relationship. So the different expense types listed in the filters are shown here on the right-hand side. The colors of the legend also correspond to the colors on the graph. Clicking into Personnel Services in the legend will update the graph. Also, the table of data below will update any time an action is taken with the legend or with the graph. To look at the different Personnel Services costs by department, you'll come over to the filter panel on the left and switch this from expenses broken down by expense type to be broken down by departments. Now you can see all of the personnel services expenses by department. If you're interested in looking at just public safety, you can hover over and click on the tan part of the graph. This will now update to show you the personnel services expenses for the police department. If you're interested in looking at more detailed information, you can come back over to the filter panel and break it down by expense type again to see the different details that make up personnel services for the police department. You can continue to drill down into the information by using the graph or by using the legend. Clicking into the darker blue salaries and wages will isolate all of the different salaries and wages expenses for the police department. Clicking into non-exempt salaries, again, will isolate even further down. Below, the table of data has also been updating as actions have been taken above. If you're interested in looking at the graph as a line graph or a stack graph, you can switch to the different types over here on the right-hand side. Clicking the back button will take you back to the previous state of the report. Clicking into bar graph also will revert it back to a bar graph. You may notice that some of the bars are shaded and some have a solid gradient to them. Anything that is shaded is budget data, and anything that is solid is actual data in OpenGov. In this report, we're looking at annual data from 2012 through budget data for 17-18. If you're interested in looking at monthly data, then you'll come over to the left-hand side and click into the monthly budget to actual report. Now you're looking at monthly data as opposed to data in an annual aggregation. Across the x-axis, you can see the different months of the year. This city begins their fiscal year in October, so October is the first month. On the far right-hand side, you can see the budget for the entire fiscal year. Again, it has that shade to it. Below in the table of data, now you will see the amounts listed out by month. This data is all cumulative data, which means that every month builds on top of the months previous. Sometimes this is called a budget to actual report. Just like in the annual report, you can use the filter panel, you can use the legend or the graph itself to drill into the information further. Clicking into capital outlay on the legend will isolate just the capital outlay information. Now we're looking at all the different capital outlay expenses for the city in a cumulative buildup against the budget. If you're interested in seeing in which months capital outlay expenses are actually incurred as opposed to the cumulative buildup, you can switch the data from being cumulative to incremental. To switch the data, come over to the presentation button in the bottom left-hand corner. From here, you can switch this monthly report options and switch the amounts from cumulative to be incremental. Clicking into the white space will bring you back to the report, and now you can see in which months the expenses for capital outlay are the highest. It looks like in December, improvements other than buildings have high expenses, and in July, there also are high expenses for the same expense, improvements other than buildings. If you have any questions about the data that you're seeing on the report, you can use the help button in the top right-hand corner and then click Contact Cloud City. From here, you can type in your question or feedback to be submitted to the city directly. You can use the share button to download the data that you're seeing. You can download the image or you can download the data in the table as a spreadsheet. You also can share this link on social media or through an email.
So that's kind of their generic video, and they also give us some links to various cities that have launch sites set up, and a lot of them will, there's one city in particular, Val, I think it's the second one there, that has a video right on their homepage, and they do a similar report, but it's customed for their city, so we could work on something like that too. The generic one might be a good intermediary step to put on our launch pad initially until we can get that video done. This is the one that has, they've done their own transparency portal video. And then down at the bottom underneath that, there's, I think, frequently asked questions, some different screenshots of the most useful reports that they have. So we can send out links to these to the committee if you'd like, and then you can maybe give us feedback, what you like, what you don't, and maybe we can model after the high points of each of these. They all are a little different and a little custom. On the transparency portals themselves, there's the reports are listed in different ways. On the left-hand side, under views, they're either listed very generically, like this one says fund, general fund, reserve revenues, I think. The other site that they gave us is more like a question, and you can click on it and give you the data that answers that question. So we'll send links to these out to you, and you're welcome to give us feedback. We're going to do this at council on Tuesday, so any feedback we get before then, we can share with the council. during our discussion. It's going to be during a presentation, but we can still share the feedback with the committee. In terms of the other documents that they gave us, there's the navigating your reports. This is something that we could attach right to our launch pad, and somebody could just open it up and read what the different reports are. So that's kind of already done for us, which is nice. They give another document on how to guide, and again, we can just attach this. It has some frequently asked questions. It talks about some of the different charts, and I think these are responsive to some of the questions that were provided before today's meeting. And then the last document about preparing for your public launch kind of gives us a little bit of a roadmap, and on the back, you'll notice that there's a communications representative that will work with us. There's no charge for that. So we're going to set up a conversation with him and kind of get a plan intact for doing a press release or notifications out to the community on this being launched and some different training opportunities. I haven't had a chance to get in touch with the library yet on utilizing their computer area to offer some trainings, but we can certainly look into doing that and do some kind of like what we've been doing with the wharf in terms of office hours and invite people to come in and do hands-on training if that's something that would be useful. And then in terms of our own site, we have been working on doing a Measure Q report. We don't have it saved yet for public view, but narrowing down just for Measure Q what the expenditures are and revenues coming in and sorting through by vendors. And I think that came up with our last discussion and then was also in one of the comments. So it would be very easy for the committee or anybody in the public to go through and see where we are with our expenditures for Measure Q and what we've expensed that on. Not suggesting that that would be in lieu of the regular reports that you get, but just as more detail, perhaps, than you've been seeing in the past. We've also, Valerie worked with our representative this morning, and they got everything updated through today. So there is current information on there now. We've talked to them about the integration feature that we discussed at the last meeting. They have a kind of an intermediate step where there's an STP download. So we can download our data to the STP, and then it'll automatically integrate into the system. It alleviates some of the concern about them having access to our GL accounts, and I think it'll make things a little quicker on our end. So we've been given a new representative that kind of specializes in that. It's not going to delay the deployment. We'll just manually upload until we get that going, but we're going to pursue that option at this point to kind of just be a quicker process going forward. And then, you know, I kind of left this a little bit vague in terms of feedback from the committee on other outstanding questions. If you have any thoughts on deployment, on the launch pages, the, you know, ease of using it when you went through it, the material that was there and the information that was there. You know, there was concern last time about, you know, it being up to date and accurate, and you know, I hope the community will realize that there's always adjustments that are made. You know, transfers aren't made every month necessarily. We do them quarterly. In a lot of cases, interest isn't posted every month. So it won't be uncommon that you may look at a report and go back 2 months later and it be slightly different. And that's to be expected. And, you know, we'd be able to show why. But there will be changes as we do adjustments. So hopefully the community realizes that and can understand that going forward.
So thank you, Jennifer. I'd like to hear from the committee members on our comments or what your experience has been. And in case we have any questions while Valerie's here, we may ask you to. So Bart, you want to start?
Yeah, I must admit I didn't go through it a lot, but I wanted to make sure I could get in, I could move around, and it was really, at least a month ago, but it's really quite easy to do that. Is it going to be noted somewhere as far as keeping in mind that some data can change due to reallocations or adjustments, but that what the data is good through whatever, and I think it wasn't too clear last time, as I recall, is if you can upload the data monthly or quarterly or whatever. I don't know if you've decided that yet. But then to whatever that is, to have that posted so it's real clear that this data is through whatever, and then you can have the qualifiers underneath that that you just went through. The other question I had was, what are the statistics? And again, you may have answered that last time, but are you going to be capturing how many people are looking at it, how often, how many different people, all the normal web statistics? Because as much as you want feedback, that tells you a lot. It's just, you know, what is the traffic going through there, or is it just John Jones who's kind of likes to do that?
Right. So there is, Val just pulled up, there's this analytics tool piece of it, and it tells you how many views you've had, how long the average person has stayed on the site. I think we can drill down into maybe what reports are being viewed most frequently, if I'm remembering correctly. So there are some analytics in there trying to balance, you know, you don't want to always be watching over somebody. So we're not tracking down to real finite detail as to, you know, what vendors are frequently searched or that kind of thing. But it will tell you how long people are spending on the site and how many people are visiting.
The website at Morro Coast Audubon, we have a woman who's amazing at looking at all this stuff. It's interesting. It tells you a lot as far as who's going in and looking at it. Then you can adjust your time and your efforts based on where it seems that people have the most interest.
I don't believe it provides as much detail as like Google Analytics, which will give you a lot of information on a site.
Okay,
that
I'm not
you've
going
done.
Into, you know, like
yeah.
Real deep, but just fundamentally every month, 50 people, 10, 150
yes.
looked at it, and they stayed for however long and how many different people.
Correct.
Real basic is all.
And then there's some comparison to other cities, too. Is that about the average as other cities are experiencing? So we will have that data to share. In terms of uploads, the way the STP system will work is it will be able to automatically select upload daily. So if we download our data to STP every month, it'll automatically update it monthly or whatever cycle we choose. So at this point, until we get that feature going, we're probably going to be doing monthly internally. Then we can work towards more of a daily or every couple weeks process. As long as it's not a huge effort on our end, you know, I'm happy to do it daily if that's helpful. We'll have to work through that STP process and see what the work level is in that. So we'll kind of get back to you on that. I do believe the reports say when they were most recently updated, Val, in the transparency portal piece themselves. Do they give a date in them?
There was a date in the menu, I noticed, when I was looking up because some things had changed. The dates right there.
This is not the view that's available to the public, though. Okay. This is kind of the behind-the-scene one. So in the actual transparency portal, I think I recall seeing a date. And if not, in the frequently asked questions, we could update that with a date and try to work on getting a date stamp on those so that the public would know when the last upload was. But it does say up in the corner there, it says the date. So it would be, you would know what date you were looking at. I think that was all your question.
You may want to consider on that, like just doing it routinely, consistently, monthly or something. Otherwise, if you start doing it too often, somebody looks it up week two, and then week three, there's a different number, and you know, it might be more confusing.
Right.
But typically, we see monthly. Go ahead, John.
So OpenGov itself has these frequently asked questions and primers?
Yes.
Okay, and then are you going to develop your own frequently asked questions for the city?
I think
pre-launch.
We could do pre-launch ones. I'm thinking when we send you the links to some of the other launch sites, those frequently asked questions are how much do we spend on public safety, and you click on that, and it takes you to just the police, and we could do police and fire together or separately. Those make a lot of sense and are pretty, you know, intuitive to come up with. As people submit questions via that feature that they showed in the video, we could take the ones that are frequently kind of repeated and develop reports that would answer those and put those in the list as well.
Okay. Yeah, I think as much as you can answer people's questions ahead of time, that would relieve the burden on you of answering questions over the phone or by email or whatever.
Right.
But if you do get an avalanche of questions, how is that going to be handled?
We're going to answer them, and
I mean, are they going to go to you?
They'll likely come to me at this point. I think especially given the time of the year we're in with year end, Val and I will probably work on a lot of them together. But you know, I have to be careful about how much I'm asking of my staff, and be a little respectful of that. But until we get through year end more, and that's 100% of their focus for the most part right now, I'll probably take the first round through. OpenGov is very supportive, so the representatives there have been great. They probably would be able to help with some of them if we couldn't figure them out quickly.
Okay, is there a time of year where you may be able to handle this increased workload, like maybe after the auditors are here?
What I anticipate and suspect is that when this is deployed, you know, fairly soon, we'll get an initial load of questions. And then as people become more familiar with maneuvering through it, utilizing it, we have more frequently asked questions and reports automatically set up to respond to those. I think it will dwindle down. If anything, our questions are going to be different and maybe request to see some of the invoices that now they can search through a vendor, and maybe the detail isn't as much as they would like, and they might want to see the invoice. It might be more of a public records request rather than something that we respond to via email or with a phone call.
Okay, and I apologize if I missed this while you were presenting, but what will be the initial data set that will be presented? Will it be just last fiscal year, or are you going to go right out there with the current fiscal year up to date?
It's up to date through today is what we'll launch. We won't be uploading again before. We'll be doing a soft launch next week, and we won't upload data again before that. So it'll be the last 5 years, 4 years, and through right what you've seen now. I'm not sure 18-19 was there when you looked, but we have uploaded budget numbers at this point. So
okay, thank you.
Dave?
Just a general comment. I would definitely benefit from getting some sort of training or having a online type of training available. I did go into it several times, poked around, had my wife look at it, was able to find some things, but as far as using the filters and whatnot, you know, definitely would benefit from a training session or either having that or some kind of online tutorial.
Did you find the video helpful or something?
The one we just watched?
Yeah, I mean, I know you
I'd have, no, because I can't see it, and okay. It was hard to hear, and I'd have to go through it again. So is that available through the OpenGov website?
It's not connected to ours, but I can send the link to that when I send the other pages, and I'll do that tonight before I go home. So you'll have access to it.
Does OpenGov have their own website that has information like that on it?
If you go to opengov.com, I'm not sure what's on there though. Yeah, I'll send you the link to that particular video, and then you'll see in the one city on their launch pad, they've done their own. It's about 12 minutes. And you can watch that one as well and see if you get more out of that. And then just give some feedback back on which one, if either you find useful.
And then a question, are the other departments planning on using this site as well? For example, the Community Development Department, maybe putting building permit information on there, the Police Department, possibly putting crime statistic information on there, that type of thing?
It has functionality for that. At this point, we haven't even had the conversations about it. We're migrating to a CityWorks program, which has some, I think, duplicative things in terms of building permits and that kind of things from a community development perspective. So it might just be on our launch pad, we add a link to that instead of uploading into that. But we haven't had those conversations yet at this point, and in CityWorks, we're still operating under two systems as we test that as well. So hopefully in the future, we'll be able to upload all of that GIS data in terms of where, you know, projects are happening, the whole kind of gamut of a transparency portal.
Yeah, I could see putting different departments putting information on there other than just having financial information available. And it would be, I think it'd be a good idea to have it all together in one place where people don't have to go hunting around looking for information or waiting for annual reports or things like that. So it would be good for the other departments to utilize it as well. I noticed that, I was looking at some other communities and it was surprising how many other cities had very little on there available, and then others had quite a bit. One of the notable ones for me was Abilene, Texas. They had all kinds of different reports on there, financial reports, information about their airport, police crime statistics, that kind of thing. So it's obviously utilized to some degree more than others by different communities.
Don?
Yeah. In terms of the adjustments, I would make sure you include that in any meetings that you do. I don't think that people are going to be that understanding unless you get out in front of that. A lot of this talks about in preparing, making it an engaging site. And I think sometimes one of the most engaging things you can do is have something that counts down to important dates. And I don't know if they offer a countdown clock to important budget meetings, or a link to a calendar so that people know when the budget meetings are coming. I know it's on the website, but if they could get it from right in here. And I know you want to do a soft launch next week. It talks about leveraging milestones. I think that's a good idea in terms of getting the public interested, is looking at what else is happening already in the budget process. And then in terms of customizing the video, I wasn't sure if you were saying you can make a whole new video that's just our own, or you can just link our reports to what that video is already talking about.
We would make our own and kind of model it after that, but use our own reports, and instead of a fiscal year that starts in October, for example, ours does not. So kind of use that as a narrative, if you will, but use our site to do the maneuvering and show what our different report views are and what we've saved for frequently asked questions.
Like, so do we have to use police? I'm just wondering if you can do, if we have a budget success story, and that could be the focus of that video.
I think we would try to go through a multiple number of different reports. Mm-hmm. So, show Measure Q, the WARF is obviously going to be a big interest one. It makes sense to include that in there, and mm-hmm. how you can find those reports and in the information that the public's been asking for on that.
Yeah, I don't know if police would be the best one to use for us. And then to really highlight this idea that people can share the budget reports, because that may increase calls to you, but it may also decrease calls if people can, instead of, I don't know how many calls you get in terms of people trying to find things or how many the city gets, but if people can share them amongst themselves. That was it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Don. Good comments. Walter?
Nothing, Madam Chair.
Okay. Thanks, Walter. I had a couple comments. Number one, I did find it fairly easy and intuitive, but I do have some background in this and in the private sector. But with any system, I think it's sometimes a little difficult to make sure you are really capturing it correctly. For instance, I was looking for the accumulation fund balances, and I was able to find them quite easily. But I wanted to confirm with you and staff to make sure I had not missed anything. So that's where the user guide and the instructions will come in very handy. That video, if you send us that video link, that was exactly what I was nosing around trying to find. But I'd like to go through it in slow motion, I guess. The other thing is, on the bottom, Valerie might know this, when you see all the numbers there, I was trying to click on them and sum them up like a spreadsheet. Can you not do that? Or I think it said in the video you have to download it?
Yeah, you can download into Excel.
But you can't just do it on the screen and see what it was. Like if you're, particularly somebody be looking for transactions or do a specific vendor or specific project, whatever, and there's 30 things because you're at the end of the year, 30 line items, how would you get the total of those? Or would you, you know, send it over to a CSV or Excel file?
So that might be, that would be what I would do because it would be the quickest.
Sure.
But I know when we were looking at Measure Q and we started sorting by a defined date range, so a fiscal year, it would total up that fiscal year. So if we went into like a vendor detail transaction, Val, and maybe pulled up, searched or filtered by a vendor and see if it gives you a...
I didn't see a total at the bottom. That's what I was looking for, basically.
If you, yeah. It doesn't look like it has an automatic, is it under filters? Oh, that is the total when you hover over it. So if you just filter out by a vendor and then you hover over the box, it will give you the total.
Okay, see, I was down there at the numbers trying, it's like a spreadsheet. No, that's good to know. That's why we're gonna need some kind of training in that. My real concern is that initially I think you want to roll it out like this user guide and everything is a very good idea. I would probably limit the number of reports you put out initially. You don't want to overburden yourself and overburden the public and see what the response is. Not concern, but I think it would be more used by your staff. It would, you know, make your jobs a little more, make your jobs easier in getting information you need. To your jobs versus the number of citizens I believe is limited that would really use this the way it should be used. I think you'd see people on these boards using it. I think you'd see some very interested citizens, but to get the maximum benefit out of this, you're gonna have to invest some time in doing these links and learning it. And I'm just not sure there's that many citizens. You know, we tried to do that with the budget-friendly reports that we put out, which we'll get to in the next section. And even measuring, as Bart said, the web metrics, it was a little hard to see how many citizens were really, initially there was some interest. And then after that, so there's the information. Now we know labor is 76 or 74% of the general fund. Most of it's police and fire. And then we didn't hear anymore for a while. So, but to me, that's an ancillary benefit of this whole software. I'm hoping that there'll be some return on the investment to you and your staff.
Yeah, I think one of the things that's come up with the PO system is that we likely will have to buy some new logins for some of our staff because we had fairly limited number and when we started to think about who would be entering POs, they didn't necessarily have a login. Alternatively, well, that won't do a PO for them. Every staff will be able to access this. There's no logins. There's no limits in the number of users. So I do think that there will be some use coming from the staff level once people get accustomed to being able to go there and search for the answer.
Right. Okay, and then have maybe, you know, like you talked about, a budget workshop more for the public. So,
correct.
So very good. Any other comments?
I just had one last one, which is, and I can't remember if it's in here or in here, a quick guide of how to find things. So I know there's the search window. So police might be easy because you might be able to just type in police. But if there's other monies that people know about in layman's terms, and then that turns out it's like in the enterprise fund, but people don't know what the enterprise fund is, or they don't, you know, you see what I'm saying? Like something that links sort of just layman's knowledge around the budget to where specifically do I look? And I think they mentioned somewhere in here budget 101, but I don't know if there's something more specific to Morro Bay.
Yeah, I think in general, we need to come up with a document, and I think the water and sewer enterprise funds are a really good example of that, because we have multiple different funds. There's the Water Revenue Fund, Water Accumulation Fund, Water Capital Projects Fund, and how they all interact with each other. You know, for example, the wharf project is funded from water and sewer, but those transfers aren't done till year end, and we know how much we expended on the wharf that year. So, you know, right now the accumulation funds, if you just look at cash, are a little bit overstated because we haven't transferred to fund, you know, the expenditures mm-hmm. in the wharf project. So I think some kind of general, and it can get so complicated to explain, yeah. but we do need to have some kind of...
like a key or just, you know, something that links just sort of general.
How
and build, you know, it would serve to build the public's understanding. I think a lot of times people look at these things and don't come back to them because they really don't understand what they're looking at. I think we brought that up before, but if there's some way to build that into the presentations and then have just a one-pager
okay.
available to people.
I basically, Dave is the one that kind of triggered my thought on this, and then Barbara, you sort of added to that, and that's who is this for and what's the audience? When you first roll it out, my project management eye started going wild, going, wow, project manager could do this, and he'll drill down and see who's charging the project. And then you basically corrected me and said, no, you've got internal systems that do that, and there's this, you don't want to, you get to where if you see the name of a person and how much money, you can figure out how much they made. But my understanding was this wasn't an overall project management system to be rolled out and used by city staff, which is, I think, where Dave was going, at least what I heard, and you didn't correct that. So is this supposed to be for the general public, or is it something that would help the police chief manage his budget, or the harbor manager manage his or her budget? Because I heard that, no, you've already got your internal systems. In fact, those are the ones that basically get uploaded on some basis. So maybe help me understand what this is supposed to do for somebody vis-a-vis the city staff versus what you've got now.
So our actual finance system, our internal system, we have a limited number of users. You know, all the directors have access. Everybody in finance has access. The managers in the departments have access. And then the account techs that are maybe entering AP invoices and that kind of thing. For the finance side, all staff have access to the timekeeping system because they have to go in and enter their time. But there's staff in different departments at different level that maybe could have a need to look up a budget report, but because we don't have unlimited number of users, they don't have a login to our finance system. In that case, they could go and look at this without a login because you don't need one for that. We're not limited by the number of people that can sign on to this program. And the other thing with the OpenGov platform and the way it's displayed is that some people find it easier to read than some of our printouts from our finance system, which you've seen, you know, when we've given you reports. They're not, when you start looking at accumulated transactions and the detail behind that, not everybody has an interest in those or really can understand what they're saying. These are pretty straightforward and to the level that any staff member probably needs that doesn't have a higher level of use in our finance system. The intent when we purchased it was for the community. The ancillary benefit is that all staff will be able to access it and hopefully utilize it and it be of benefit to them.
So that implies that you're basically either are or going to roll this out to staff to show them, and they'll give you feedback. They'll have a lot more comments, you know, like what Dave is bringing up, his example. Is that where you see this going then?
We've given access at this point to all the directors, all the managers, and some of the like the analysts that would use our finance system regularly. We wanted them to be able to go through and look at the data we've uploaded and have another check on the accuracy of that. But once it's deployed on our site, you don't need a login, so all staff will have access to it. We'll do an announcement internally to the staff that it's available, accessible, and probably just do some an invitation to staff if they'd like to come for training on that. You know, we want it to be as utilized as possible, so community staff, anybody. But again, the original intention was it was a community-based portal first, and then the staff piece was kind of an extra benefit to that.
Okay, any other comments for me? All right, so good discussion. So you have some of our thoughts and notes, and if we have any more, we will send these to you.
Correct.
And thanks for the update. It'll be presented to council next Tuesday, which is August 28th. Okay, good. So, and then if we have any comments on these handouts, on the guide and that, some of that I glanced at looks pretty good, so, and it's not overwhelming, so that's good. All right, so that takes us to item B3, the fiscal year budget brief proposal brochure. If you'd like to.
Sure.
Do you have any comments on that, Jennifer, first?
So I put up an actual folded printed one at each of your stations, and it's just in draft form at this point. I know it's one of the goals that the committee has been working on. Not everybody is going to be able to access OpenGov if you know they don't have internet access at home or you know, maybe not computer savvy in that way. So I think it's still beneficial to have something that you can quickly pull if they come into City Hall or want to look at. You know, it's always a challenge as to how much information can fit on one piece of paper in some kind of legible form. So this was something I did for another agency I worked for, and I just updated it with our information. It doesn't have to be a brochure. It doesn't have to have this information, but I thought it might be helpful to have something to start the conversation with. I can kind of envision if the format's something you like, or even a different format, that maybe we have multiple of these, and you maybe have, you know, a Measure Q specific one. And some of those special funds that have more attention, maybe tourism, probably the Wharf Project, something specific on that. So if there's interest in doing that, we can put those together as well, but wanted to kind of initiate the conversation and get some feedback on this format, content. It's supposed to be a pretty broad overview. So, you know, there's not really a lot of detail in here, but certainly open to hearing thoughts on the document or any other format you'd like.
Okay, who wants to start? Go ahead, Dawn.
Sure. I think I sent a number of comments, but number one, thank you for your work on OpenGov and on the brochure. It's really helpful to see it. And just my main one is the same as I had for OpenGov, that unless you really understand budgeting, people may not know what these various funds are. And so if there's a way to either link in here to where they can understand that in more layperson's terms, or to put it right in the document somehow. And I know there's space constrictions.
Okay, so we'll send you some of this. I agree with Dawn. Thank you for, you know, doing all that. I think it's always a start, and it's easier to critique it once you have something in front of you. So if I look at the cover, that's fine. I see we have the marketing logo or the branding on there. I'm not so sure about that, but whatever. It just kind of looks like it's just sitting in the middle and, you know, put Life on Coast, but I would expect to see that in a different font or whatever the branding is. The square miles, three. I thought it was, that looked very understated, so we would check on that. I like the website. But that's good. If you look at the cover, you can see everything in the print and all that. And then when you open it up and look at everything, Jennifer, I think for a brochure like this, quite honestly, we're going to have to scale this down so the print's a little bigger. That the chart I like the best, probably because it's the one we did in the middle on our budget committee, is right in the middle of the color pie chart. But you can't even read the fire, you know, it's two. So we're going to have to put that out there. Let's see. Then on the capital, let's see. Well, let me start on somewhere else first. I have quite a few comments. The hotel tax, I'd call that the bed tax in this city. That's what we use here. And then, like, some of the detail, VLF backfill property tax. I believe that's the triple flip. I would call that, if that's just the vehicle license, call it whatever it is. I don't think any of our citizens are going to know. If we're doing this kind of stuff, let's get it real high level. And we're on the right side of that page where we have the full-time equivalents. I was a little confused because it's authorized funded positions 99.5, but the elected officials, they're not really, you know, and it looks like that was added up, but I would think the full-time equivalents would be your, you know, the 99.5, and then sometimes you see some cities listed as part-time equivalents and then total, you know. And I don't know if that includes then all the other instructors and everything that you have, which would probably bring it up to another 100. That might be too much, you know. You know, part-time and all that. And then on the expenditures where we have the general fund, in the middle chart, we have it as 14.3 million. Then on the right chart, excluding the transfers, we have 13.7. I think I just bury those transfers in there so somebody doesn't see those numbers don't jive. And I just don't know if we need all the bar charts, the bar charts there. When we were working on this, our subcommittee, Dave and myself, and I think Marlis, when she was here, we looked at several other cities. So I copied a few others that I liked, like City of Irvine and some of them. And just to give you an idea, I'm just going to leave that with you so you don't have to do all that research. But there's some other ones out there. And kind of like Dawn says, some of them will have a little sentence or two under it. So this is excellent start. We just need to, I guess, get this up to a higher level. So it's a little more. And then the people that want this more detail, OpenGov, there we are. You know, so that's kind of what I thought there. What else? The other thing is, like, and I know a lot of other cities do this. I'm not sure I want to list, take a whole column, a sixth of the valuable real estate to list all the council members and the management. And my thought is that's ever-changing. So it kind of dates it, but I don't want to, you know, be disrespectful of anybody, but I don't know, maybe you could put it down in the corner and print or if you decide we have room for that. On the significant FY18-19 projects, we should include the water and sewer infrastructure. We don't have that listed there. I think that's a big one. I'd print out the WRF the first time there, write it out. Just some minor things, really, but that water and sewer infrastructure is pretty big, so and that's getting a lot of...
Yeah, just to clarify on that one, the projects for water and sewer have come out of the One Water Plan, which was not adopted or approved when we approved the budget.
Oh, okay.
So that's why they're not listed there, because we haven't come back yet and done budget adjustments for any...
Oh, to do that, okay.
I keep forgetting, and I get confused between the different lines, but I think it's the Main Street line that needs some work. Mm-hmm. I think that's the one.
Yeah, exactly.
But those haven't officially been approved for budget yet, so that's why they're not listed on here.
Okay.
Jen, you might put council goals with the list of council members to get a little more real estate.
Yeah, and the reason why I want to give you these three samples is when I look at them, the charts are big. And now, some of them have a little more writing than I'd like to see. I think if you put too much writing on there, people aren't going to read it. So if you put a little writing and balance with some big eyeball charts, just for the brochure, that would be. And obviously we're going to have to cut something out because I think there's too much here, personal opinion. But go ahead, Walter.
Oh, just a couple of things. Thank you.
Yeah.
Just a couple of things. It's an excellent start, and I really appreciate it. First of all, I would say that in lieu of the list of council members, if there was a section there with, you know, definitions of terms like enterprise fund and that sort of thing, that would be helpful. I think I agree with Barbara that if you left out the bar charts to allow more room for the pie chart, that would be great. Things like, you know, VLF, backfill property tax, that would be one of those definition of terms types of things where you could explain what that is. I don't know what it is, but at the very least, I think after VLF, there should be an asterisk, and then below total, VLF equals vehicle license fee or something like that would be helpful there. And one question, and I'm done. How is this just going to be, you know, in a slot in the lobby at City Hall, or is there an opportunity to perhaps distribute this in a water bill or something?
I hadn't thought about that, but we could certainly put it as an insert if that's the recommendation. And generally, yeah, just in one of the little, there's a, you know, wall of kind of pamphlets that we could have it there. I was going to look into, there's an, I don't know what it's referred to, but there's a PDF that's kind of a active PDF version mm-hmm. that you could post it online and it would actually open up and look like a legitimate thing that we would be able to post it on our website.
That's very cool. And I did have one more thing. It would be nice as this develops over time that there would be cross-referencing to OpenGov and maybe mm-hmm. a little boxed kind of an ad thing in terms of, you know, directing people to OpenGov. But over time, especially on if you have an active PDF version, I mean, if you had, you know, like for example, police, and if you wanted to be able to, people to drill down, you could have a thread of, you know, where you click, so to speak, to gain more information about police. But as I say, I mean, you know, that's over time, and if there's time to do it and staff time to do it, but it's really an excellent start. Thank you.
Just wanted to comment. It does look similar to a lot of these types of budget summaries that I've seen with other agencies. The listing of the elected officials and the department heads and this other basically title page or whatever you want to call it, part of it takes up, you know, it's taking up 2/3 of the back. It's good advertising, I guess, but it's good for people to know who they're elected officials and the executive staff are, but we left all that out of the one that we did originally. We just focused on the data primarily. So, but it does look similar to a lot of other ones I've seen. Another comment, there's not much room here to do this. I don't know if it's possible to, but maybe put in some kind of a brief explanation of transfers. What are transfers? Might be not possible to do it on something this size, but maybe an asterisk with a real short explanation, maybe.
I think from what I'm hearing, maybe taking out the Put Life on Coast version, changing the front a little bit, we could list the council members on the front underneath there and utilize the whole back page with a definition of terms. So
that would be good, because you can take that logo and that little round Morro Bay, make that smaller.
I respectfully disagree. I think that part of the reason people don't look at budgets is because they don't understand how they connect to real life. And I think it's important, if this is for the public, that we give some sense of who our town is and what our priorities are. That's what our budget connects to, is real life people and real life things. I'm worried that making it, and I understand budgets are number focused. I'm a little bit concerned that taking character out of this is gonna make just another document that nobody wants to look at. I think it's important, if this is our logo and this is the feel of our town, that is a piece of what our budget is about.
Okay, Let me.
And you know, we're on a data dump of giving you comments, and no matter what you do or your staff, you know, somebody will come back and want it a different way. So you just have to kind of take a stab at it. And
we'll do a round two, trying to keep the character in mind. And then
exactly,
we'll
yeah.
have the conversation again.
Yeah, good comment. Okay. John?
Jennifer, I'm a little old-fashioned, so I'd like to see the phone number on the front. And then on the list of capital projects, there's a typo. The fifth one down says improv. I don't think that's intended to be an abbreviation. Maybe it is. I don't know. That's probably one that doesn't get caught by spell check. As far as the listing of the council members and such, of course, you know, halfway through the fiscal year, new council members are seated. So what is your plan for this after the election? Do you do a revised one that is used after the first of the year, or what?
That's what we typically did when we did this in Los Gatos, was just print, because we printed these internally. So you know, we didn't print up a ton. We'd just have them there, and as a
just switch them out.
Right.
Okay. Thank you. And then I think on the inside flap where you've got your citywide data, I know you've organized everything by dollar size, which is really good on the general fund side. So you've got your general fund revenues by the most significant and then going down to the least significant. And then same with the expenditures by department. And I think that's really good. But then on the citywide data, it gets a little confusing because you've taken the same approach. And so you have a different sequence of funds on your revenues compared to your expenditures. And my recommendation would be that you just start with the general fund and then just keep the same listing for the revenues and the expenditures and the cash balance reserves. So all three of those tables have those funds in the same order. I think it'd give people, be able to follow through that better.
Okay.
And then the question I have for you was probably the most significant thing is you've chosen in the revenues to include transfers, but for the expenditures, you've excluded transfers. And I wonder why you've done that.
I think, you know, this gets back to the question that, or comments that Mr. Beckman makes frequently about transfers and being confusing. You're right. They should either both include them or both exclude them. And it, in order to give a full picture of how much money we're spending out, we probably should include them so we don't understate that.
Okay, either way, one way or the other, either exclude them under both or include them under both. But I think the way it's presented here, it's a little misleading. Okay, that's all.
Can we mark this up and just and give to you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, you're right. That basically, John and I chatted before, and it gets confusing on exactly what is the total revenue that we're getting, and it gets obfuscated by these transfers. In other words, are we truly taking in
right.
$55 million, and are we truly spending $44 million, or what is that number? And just in general, the concept of it looks like we're spending $56 million, or getting $56 million, spending $44 million, but yet we're having a net decrease in available cash of 5 or 6 or whatever it is. So again, I think John and I were looking at it kind of the same way, looking at that level, and that wasn't making sense. So
yeah, we're really missing the part in here about using cash on hand, right? Because that's the difference, is the transfers in are generally cash we have available in the accumulation fund, for example, for the wharf project. That's not getting picked up in the expenditure side, but is in the revenue side. So, you know, that's something we committed to working on for our next budget, is trying to clarify that So for this year, for this budget, we'll just make sure we include, we're consistent with either including or not including.
So using cash is not considered a revenue because it's already there. It's not a revenue for the year, that's your point?
Well, in this budget, for example, use of existing cash in the accumulation fund is counted as a transfer into the wharf project, so it's considered.
So it's in the revenue.
Right. But when we exclude it out of expenditures, you're not capturing it as coming out of the accumulation fund.
Okay. Well, I guess that, however you want to deal with it, but somehow that the high level concept is there of, this is really the revenue we're getting, these are the expenses we're getting, and this is, if you will, the reduction or increase of cash on hand. So it, at least the totals make sense. And then I agree with all the other sort of details, if you will, as far as organization and explaining what they are and all that stuff. So I have no problem with those comments. In general, I thought it was fantastic. I mean, just, I gave it, I'm sorry, my wife, who is not a numbers person, said, okay, does this basically make sense to you? I think she got value out of it. Okay. Now, the other issue is, as I said before on the OpenGov, who is the target audience? Who is this for? Is this for the finance committee to have a document? Is it for the city to have a document sort of to be available to explain to people? Or, you know, who blesses it? Does the city council say this is it? Or is this a finance? And I'm not sure by the comments here. We're kind of acting as if this is the replacement of our document. Is that what this is meant to be? Or is this going to be a city document? Because you'd look at it a little differently, like having these people on here and that sort of thing.
So I would view this as primarily an external document for the public as they come into City Hall, or if people want to pick up to take out and distribute, you know, at various groups or whatever that they attend. I understood that it was maybe one of the goals of this committee, and I didn't see it in the bylaws, so I think it came out of one of the goal sessions to develop kind of a budget-friendly document. And I'm not sure if the direction was to go to council with something as a recommendation that after you've developed. So I think that would be the next level once we get something.
So this is the budget-friendly document iteration? Proposal?
Draft.
With the comments.
Yep. I see it as an expansion of what we did 2 years ago. We got something out there. It wasn't perfect. It was high level. It was on the website. But we didn't print them out or go to that expense. You got some pretty good feedback. But I think there was limited interest in the public because they won't all go to a website, you know, unless they really want to go to find something. So it was a start. This is an expansion of it. You would probably put this on the website, and then you would also have it in printed version available.
It's tremendously helpful. Every year we do a community profile for American Bloom before the judges come to give them background on the city and what we're doing. And having this at the ready is tremendous. And then having it on the web so that I can provide a link as an answer to one of the questions in the that the judges ask, it's going to be tremendously helpful.
Or for grants or whatever.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of cities are doing it. The target audience, I think, is the citizens. You know, but the public. Okay, so any other comments on that? All right, I'll close. Very good. Thank you, Jennifer. It was very helpful.
So we'll make those changes and then come back probably in September with another round.
I view it as an iterative. By the time we get it done, then the names will change and you won't have to do a second version. So.
That's true.
Because you have some, you have interim staff there, it looks like, too, as well. So that would, okay, so. That brings us to B4, future agenda items.
So, we'll bring this back, but then also we'll have the fourth quarter investment report. We were $34 off for balancing in June, and sometimes those numbers can be harder to find than large numbers, so Val has found it, and we're balanced now, but not in time to get the investment report out for this month, so we'll have that in September as well.
Okay.
And then anything else?
I had a request for that item. Last time I had asked about socially responsive investing, since we're looking at the investment reports. And so I was wondering if you could bring us anything back. I think there are municipalities that have policies and if we could have a short presentation on what that is and how municipalities do that with their investing.
There are, and we can, if you'd like to have
something
that be
very brief
part of the fourth quarter investment, we can give you some examples or concepts of what other cities are doing, and then you can have a discussion about that.
Yeah, I think we kind of discussed it a little bit. Some of us were concerned it'd be very difficult to get, you know, because of the blending of the stock funds and that companies are invested in. But if you can do something at a high level that's not, you know, a lot of time and research.
Sure.
If the rest of the council is interested, the rest of the committee is interested in seeing that.
My understanding was that there are no stock funds, that it's all money market instruments.
So some of the policies that I've seen briefly are, for example, who we use as our broker doesn't invest with certain, maybe they're not our investments, but as a company, they don't invest in some of the more controversial items. So they're pretty broad in that sense, and that's how some cities have worked in that socially responsible investing aspect into their policies. So I'm happy to bring back some examples, and again, it'd be pretty high level, and we can have a conversation.
And I'm not asking for us to make decisions so much as get the information, because I had asked the question if that exists, if it's possible, and so Jen was going to get back to us, and so that's what I'm not asking for, the details and the specifics, but just that we can get information on socially responsible investing by cities like ours.
Okay, that's fair. I think like with everything, it's like we're going to have to bring this guide back and some other things with OpenGov. So I'm just looking at prioritization and how we get, you know, things done. But if that can be accommodated easily, then that's well worth our time to look at that. So I would agree. Any other thoughts on that?
Is that information that you would have pretty readily available, or is that going to be a lot of work for you?
No, that's there's a handful of cities that I know of that have, you know, I'll either just copy the investment policy or the section about that. Santa Barbara, for instance, I think is one that within the last year or so modified theirs to do with the pipeline and I think in South Dakota. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time analyzing. I'll just give you the information.
Well, I'm just thinking a couple things is that this isn't part of our work plan this year. And the other thing is it's really more of a policy question rather than a numbers issue. So I'm not really sure that this committee is the appropriate place to consider a policy question like that.
Well, my request isn't to consider delving into the policy, but I'd asked, is this possible? And Jen said she could get back. She could do some research and get back to us.
Well, I'm just wondering what is the end game, though? I mean, would you be getting the information? Would you then be requesting this committee to be making a recommendation to the council?
Well, I wouldn't know until we saw the information. It would be hard to say.
What's the point of doing it if we're not going to make a recommendation to the council?
Well, I'd like to see the information before prejudging if I would want to make a recommendation. I mean, I don't necessarily know that it's this committee's purview to go out on our own to make recommendations that aren't within our work plan.
That's my question, is that it's not in our work plan. The council hasn't asked us to do it. It's a policy issue. And if we're not going to make a recommendation to the council, then why spend time on it?
Well, I just want to follow up on the question that was asked.
Quite frankly, I could support it if there is such a thing. I express, particularly if we have money market investments right away, if we're not investing in issues, things we wouldn't want to invest in, so that part goes away. If it's a matter of having somebody we invest with, if that's the issue, and that's a pretty simple thing to look into, and I would personally support that kind of thing. I'm just not sure what the practicality is of what you're going to find. And again, I mentioned our organization, Morro Coast Audubon. We said, let's look into that. And our investments, I think we did make one change. It was one portfolio that we moved into, but the rest of them were all so broad that how do you find the winners and losers? Because virtually all of them have somebody you probably don't want to invest in from a ethical, moral standpoint. So it was a very difficult thing to do without taking a hit on what you're earning.
I would just add that in terms of a timing perspective, I mentioned on Tuesday that we're going to the council with a work plan to do both an update or compilation of financial policies, and then as well a fiscal emergency / sustainability plan and how we're going to work through that process. So while we do have an investment policy, we do update it pretty regularly to stay current. And if there is any changes that would be made to that, it would work into that plan. So from a timing perspective, that is coming forward. But again, it's up to the committee.
It's a tough one because, you know, Dawn brings up a good point. But on the other hand, I know some of us have asked for other presentations like in data systems integration and some of that. And personally, we've held off because of the amount of work there's a lot of presentations we'd like to see from the staff. But we also, as John brings up, we're an advisory board chartered to do a certain amount of work, and that's what we should be focusing on. And right now, I've been an advocate of we have too much work on that plate now in terms of, you know, everything this committee will do. We're doing the best we can, and the more we want to do, the more we need staff because we are not familiar with your systems and your policies and your procedures. So I think it's really it's up to the committee. But you know, you bring up an excellent point. Why, Madam Chair, are we doing this?
Maybe we could get clarification. My understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that we're invested in a fund that small municipalities invest in, and the holdings of those are basically like the bond issues of other municipalities and counties and states. So it's all kind of like public entity stuff. There really isn't any private, it's not like, you know, they're investing in coal companies and cigarette companies and oil companies and stuff.
So that's our LAIF fund,
LAIF, right.
Local agency investment fund. Mm-hmm. But we have some CDs, so in theory it could apply to, you know, company or CDs that we have investments with. And again, without bringing forward, you know, I haven't spent a lot of time reading the different policies, so without bringing them to you, there could be some application. There are some cities that have developed broad statements in their policy that if it's not financially to the detriment of the city, it would be used in evaluating if you purchased a CD or went with a certain broker.
So basically, you know, you're looking at safe, you know, muni bonds and public entity issues that are hanging right around 4%. And you're not investing in corporate bonds or anything like that, where you actually have, you know, a private, where it's the private sector. Right? Isn't there a distinction being made there?
Yeah, we have. I mean, our CDs are all less than 4%. I mean, we're, you know.
Right, right. Of course, these days. Right, right. But it's not like you're buying General Motors corporate bonds. It's a state CD or a muni CD. It's all public. It's all public sector stuff.
Not all our CDs are state owned.
Okay, so there is some private sector.
There's some, yeah, we have some, and I'm drawing a blank right now
right.
on them, but I think that's where they make kind of these broad statements in their policies.
Yeah, because I think there's some misunderstanding here in terms of, you know, what we actually invest in. I mean, I don't really, you know, I that's what I care about if I were to care about anything. I mean, I wouldn't care about, you know, what some other city is doing. I just want to know what we're doing, and I don't think we have much exposure to the kinds of things that could be controversial.
I don't, off the top of my head, I can't say that. I don't think you do as either. All of our investment reports so far on the website under monthly reporting, so you can go and see the detail. And then on the fourth, or at our next meeting in September, you'll get the fourth quarter, and that lists each of our CDs.
Sure.
So that would be a time to have that conversation when you can see what those CDs are.
Thank you.
To be clear, though, this came up in the context of this committee being asked to look over the quarterly budget or the quarterly investment reports. And that's when I asked about this. I was told by people on this committee that it's not possible I understand that it is possible and there are policies out there, and so I'm just asking for information on the policies.
So I think the bylaws of the committee are to review the quarterly investment reports, and then the council recently added the quarterly financial reports as well.
So the next agenda item is the fourth quarter investment report. And you said that we'll have the detail that you can drill down and see if there's anything that
the question is if ties. I should attach anything on social responsible investing or not.
I think it would be more helpful just to have an attachment of what, and you know, and obviously this is Dawn's thing, so she should weigh in, but an attachment of what the LEAF Fund is invested in, and so that you know we could look at it as part of the agenda packet. It's kind of what investments do you hold? That's most funds are will do that. I mean, I could go home right now and look at my portfolio and look at a stock fund and see what they're invested in. And so then you could look over that list, and if there's something that looks objectionable, you know, we could weigh in, I suppose. But
and just to clarify, LEAF, I can give you a list, and I think you can pull that off their website. You know, even if you go there, but we have no control over that. We just give them our money. What we have control is who we buy CDs from, and you know what meets the criteria for what's in our investment policy, which
absolutely
is separate from LEAF.
Well, and your CDs you get from a bank, right? It's like you go to rob a bank and whatever their CD or some bank or what's your CD rate or an insurance company, you know, what's your CD rate? And that's a money market instrument. It's just just money. It's not really invested in How could you even tell? It's split up, you know, 1,000 ways.
We have brokers. We have two that we work with, and it would really, you know, we give them the investment policy and kind of work with them to make sure we stay in that. So if there was any kind of statement in there, you know, it's incumbent on the broker that we're working with as well as ourselves to make sure that whoever we're buying kind of complies with those. And again, I believe they all have that. If it's not to a financial detriment. So if it's a choice between two CDs and you know one company is more responsible as terms of how we define that than the other, we pick the one that is how I've interpreted the ones I've quickly looked at. But
yeah, thank you.
Okay, so let's go through the investment report, all right? And this committee also, I think it was about 2 years ago, went through the investment policy and updated it. So maybe we start there, and if Dawn or anyone wants to propose some language, that would be more in our purview than going on this research effort.
Well, I'd be happy to suggest language, but I'd like to see what works for other cities. And again, this is coming back to the comment being made that no, it's not possible, but I think it is possible. But I do think the whole committee should be aware of what kind of language municipalities are using if they even move forward. You know, if this was, I'd be happy to do it at the time when the policy is updated, whatever the timing is on that. I think I heard Jennifer say it wasn't going to be much time on her end, that she could pull some things that she had at her fingertips.
Or any one of us could research that as well.
I'd be happy to research and bring it back to the committee if you'd prefer me to research it. I'd be happy to bring information. If you want to agendize me to bring that back.
Rest of you have any strong preference?
Again, I just question where does it lead to? I mean, if Dawn's going to do the research and share it with the committee, but there's no request from council for us to make a recommendation to the council, then it dies with this committee. So why even do it? Now, if the council asked us to do it, I would say by all means, we should do it. But this kind of a policy question should originate with the council and be assigned to the committee. We should not be doing these things on our own and I just feel strongly about that.
Okay, so maybe I can offer a temporary solution here. Okay. Perhaps we need to have just defer the conversation until we meet again in September. I suspect there is a chance that in bringing forward the plan for the financial policies, that there might be some discussion at councils if that should come to CFAC as a whole package. It wouldn't mm-hmm. specifically be just the investment policy, but as a package, there might be interest in the council asking this committee to review policies at some level. I don't know that. We're not making a recommendation either way. We're really just laying out what our time frame is in our plan. But we'll know after Tuesday what council does direct staff to do. And then we might be having a conversation about our overall policies in September anyways. So maybe we should just hold off at this point and see what's directed right. on Tuesday.
I would agree with that. And I agree with John's point. We shouldn't be just going off on our own researching things that they may or may not be interested. We need to focus on the work plan. And who knows? Maybe some of this could be controversial, and maybe that's why we haven't been asked to look at it. Maybe council looked at it before, some of them are thought about it and just decide, you know, we don't want to open up that can of worms. It's, you know, it could be that as well. So thank you for that suggestion. I think that's all we need for now. And then And also, I would make the comment, too, we have too much on our plate now that we can't always successfully maneuver. You know, if council wants to add something, that's fine. My suggestion would be what comes off the plate. We want to do a good job. We can do, 30 things 80% halfway, or we could do a smaller number of items and do a good job. And some of these aren't finished. This budget and brief and the citizen-friendly documents, that's been going on for 2 years. And now we've expanded that. We have the OpenGov. And we've also talked about the PO system implementation. So we have a lot of high priorities. We have the WERF and the financing that we may be asked to look at that in more detail. Never know. I've asked council of that or suggested that. So there's a lot on our plate, and there could be a lot more coming. I think we have to prioritize where our time is best spent. Not that any of these aren't good ideas and good projects, but we've got 6-7 people here to do it. So, and you have a very limited staff, and you're making excellent progress. So I'll close it with those comments. I will leave you some budget samples from some other cities. Jen, any final comments? Anybody? Okay, so then we will adjourn to our next meeting, third Tuesday, September, is it 18th? I believe. Yeah, September 18th, 2018, 3:30, that's all. Thank you.